بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 31st session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, by our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will be looking at hadith number 27, the hadith of An-Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu, and the extra hadith that Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has attached to it. Before we do that, inshallah, we want to go back and take a look at some of the issues that we discussed in the previous session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 30. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 26. The main topic or subject of hadith number 26. Follow.
That every day one's joints are required to fulfill a sadaqa to express gratitude for well-being daily, and every action that one does seeking nearness to Allah is a
sadaqah. MashaAllah. That's the whole thing. Now, yani that there's a sadaqah that is required from the human being every day for every joint of the body as an expression of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that ni'mah. And also from the meanings of this hadith, from the important meanings of this hadith, is that it indicates to us that a sadaqah is not only monetary, but there are various types of sadaqah. Second question, who is the rawi narrator of this hadith and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found. Tayyib, fadda.
Abu Huraira.
Abu Huraira, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, radiallahu anhu. And the collection?
Al-Bukhari
and Muslim. Hadith is muttafaqun alayh, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Question number 3, what is the number of sadaqah or charities obligatory upon the Muslim every single day, and what is this number based upon? The number, now, the wali.
360.
360 charities obligatory required from the human being every single day, and it's based upon what this number? The 360 joints. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you well. Oh, sulama, naam. 360 joints, sulama, yani, naam. The joints or the, yani, bones of the body, naam. As it's narrated in the hadith of Aisha, reported by Imam Muslim. Question number 4, mention the different angles from which the various types of sadaqah can be viewed, as mentioned by the author. يعني نعم فضل
قولية
فعلية
القاصرة
المتعدية. يعني that these various types of charities may either be قولية or فعلية, يعني actions or speech, and from another perspective they might be يعني قاصرة ومتعدية, that is the benefit of that deed might be limited to the person, or it might be mutaaddiya, yani extending to someone else. Naam. And every one of these charities, whether it is qawliya or fi'liya or mutaaddiya or qasira, every one of them fulfills the obligation of these 360 charities that's required from the human being every day that the sun rises. Question number 5, mention one single act of ibadah which would be sufficient to cover one's daily obligation of sadaqah. A'adu. The duha salat. Yani, turaka at the time of duha. At the time of duha. Naam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person who performs these turaka at the time of duha, it will suffice. Yani, it will be sufficient to cover this, the daily 360 degree charities that are required from the human being. Question number 6. Mention 3 of the examples of sadaqah mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith. And he mentioned several examples of sadaqah other than maliyah, other than monetary sadaqah. Mentioned three of them. One.
To judge justly between two people.
Another one. Naam. To help someone on their mount, their horse, their animal, their car, whatever. Or more general than that, that's what he mentioned in the hadith. And that may indicate also that helping someone, helping anyone, whatever they might have need for. But specifically here, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this. Naam. Another? Yeah, you want to mention another? I don't know if you had your hand up. Huh?
A
kalima tayyiba. Naam, a good word. A good word. Naam. Any other? Removing something harmful from the road. And also one final example he mentioned, Naam?
Every step
that a person takes to the salat, to the prayer in the masjid in Jama'ah. Question number 7, give 3 of the examples of al-kalima al-tayyiba mentioned by the author. 3 examples of al-kalima al-tayyiba that have been mentioned by the author. Naam?
Al-zikr.
Another? Yeah?
Dua.
Other? Recitation of the Quran. Recitation of the Quran. Naam. Other?
Advising.
Advising others. And like so on. There are lots of things that a person can say that's considered from Kalima Tayyiba. And there are so many. Naam. Question number 8 mentioned 5 of the 6 fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. 5. Benefits that the author derived from this hadith. 5 of them are directly from the examples that he gave. And the first one is the general meaning of the hadith. Now, give me one.
It's the knowing every joint requires a sadaqah.
Knowing. The reality that every joint of the body requires a sadaqah every day. We learn that from this hadith. Also.
Encouragement to reconcile between brothers.
Encouragement to reconcile between two people who are disputant. Or to judge justly between two people. Now.
Encouragement to help others.
Encouragement to help others with whatever it is that they are in need of that which is lawful. And Sheikh didn't say lawful, but we're just adding that. We don't want to help people in sin and corruption, right? Now. Huh?
To constantly engage in good speech.
Constantly engage, to engage in good speech. That which is considered kalam al-tayyib. Now.
The merit or virtue of walking to the masjid.
Naam. Anything else? Is that 6?
The virtue
of moving something harmful from the road. Okay, so these are some of the points that we discussed last week. And tonight, inshallah, we want to look at the next hadith, which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned 2 hadith here under al-hadith al-sabi'u wal-ishruna. This hadith عن النواس ابن سمعان رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حاق في نفسك أو في النفس as it came in our book النفس وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس رواه مسلم النواس ابن سمعان رضي الله عنه one of the distinguished companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he narrates from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, and he gave us the definition of 2 very important comprehensive words, 2 important concepts, principles in Islam. The first of them al-birr, and the second of them al-ithm. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-birru husnul khuluq. That birr, righteousness, is good character. Righteousness is good character. وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاقَ فِي نَفْسِكَ And sin is that which disturbs your nafs, your soul, is disturbed by it. It's not at rest. It's uncomfortable with it. وَكَرَهْتَ يَتَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ And you dislike, you hate that people come to know about it. It's something that a person would do or say that they dislike that people know about it. It causes discomfort, unrest, in their nafs, in their soul, and they dislike that anyone should know about it. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, and Imam Nawawi rahimahullah adds to this hadith another hadith which has the basic same meaning, that also defines, in this hadith, defines what is al-birr and what is al-ithm. This hadith عن وابصة ابن معبد رضي الله عنه قال أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال جئت تسأل عن البر والإثم قلت نعم قال استفتي قلبك البر ما اطمأنت إليه النفس واطمأن إليه القلب والإثم ما حاق في النفس وتردد في الصدر وإن أفتاك الناس وأفتوك حديث حسن رويناه في مسندي الإمامين أحمد بن حنبل والدارمي والدارمي رحمه الله بإسناد حسن. This hadith, the hadith of Wabisa ibn Ma'ad, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and before I said anything, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَقَالَ, the Prophet said, جَئْتَ تَسَلْ عَنَ الْبِرُّ وَالْإِثْمِ, have you come asking about, or you came asking about righteousness and sin? قُلْتُ نَعَمْ, I said نَعَمْ, yani yes, I came to ask about al-birr wal-ithm. And this is an example for those who are studying Arabic grammar, yani as a situation where the mubtada and the khabar both may be mahzoof. Yani in the answer to this question, the mubtada and the khabar are both absent. And the answer, if it was in full, he said, yes, yes, I came asking about يعني البر والإثم. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, قال استفتي قلبك, يعني seek a fatwa from your heart, يعني ask your heart, ask your heart, consult your heart about this issue, يعني of what is Al-Bir and what is Al-Ithm. Istafti qalbak. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him what is the mizan to use for the heart to determine what is yani Al-Bir and what is Al-Ithm. Al-Bir matma'annat ilayhi al-nafs. Watma'anna ilayhi al-qalb. Yani Al-Bir is that which the nafs, the soul, and the qalb, the heart, are at peace with, or at rest with, find tranquility in it. The heart and the nafs, the soul, finds rest and comfort with al-birr, yani that which is considered to be birr. Wal-ithm ma haqa fi nafs wa taraddada fi sadr, yani and sin is that which disturbs the nafs, and yani goes back and forth in the sadr, yani in the qalb. It goes back and forth. A person is undecided about it. Yani they're mutaraddid. They can't make up their mind. Is it acceptable or not? Is it sinful or not? The ithm is that which disturbs the nafs. And a person is yani undecided about it, going back and forth about what is its condition. Even though, yani they feel this in their nafs and in their heart, even though the people may give them a legal opinion or a legal ruling again and again and again, declaring it not to be sinful, but yet the person's heart and their nafs is uncomfortable with it. This hadith is Hasan. Al-Imam An-Nawawi says, رُوِّيْنَاهُ فِي مُسْنَدَيْ الْإِمَامَيْنِ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ حَنْبَلْ وَالدَّارِمِ. Yani that we have narrated this hadith with isnad in the two musnads, the musnad of the two imams, Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah and Al-Imam Al-Darimi rahimahullah bi isnadin, yani Hassan. Yani Al-Imam Nawawi said, we narrated this hadith with a isnad that is Hassan. Yani acceptable, good. Yani isnad. Isnad, a chain of narrators that's acceptable. Less than the level of that which is sahih. Naam. So as far as the Shaykh's explanation of this hadith, yani we mentioned so many times in the past that he has divided his explanation into points. Okay. So in his explanation of this hadith, he has divided into 8 points. The first point is related to the isnad of these hadith. And the last point is related to the benefits that are derived from the hadith. So the first point is related to the isnad, and the last point are the benefits, and the 6 points in between deal with the key ideas that are mentioned in this hadith, al-birr, husnul khuluq, al-ithm, yani istafti qalbak, and how the Prophet ﷺ spoke to the person and told him what he came to ask about before he even spoke. So the first point, the Shaykh, he makes, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Al-Badr, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says, point number one, Hadith al-Nawas rawahu Muslim. As far as the Hadith of Nawas, he said, he sufficed by saying, rawahu Muslim. And it doesn't require any more discussion. It's reported by Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, in his Sahih, doesn't require any discussion. There's no question about its authenticity. Wa Hadith Wabisa radiallahu anhu rawahu Ahmad wa Darimi. And his hadith is narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and Al-Imam Al-Darimi rahimahullah wa fi isnadihi maqab. And in its chain of narrators there is some statement of criticism. Yani something has been said about the isnad of this hadith criticizing it. Naam. Walakin lahu shawahid bi asanid jayyida. However, there are supporting narrations that have good chains of narration, good chains of narrators that support this narration of Al-Imam Ahmad and Al-Imam Al-Darimi. And those shawahid that support the correctness and the authenticity of this hadith are mentioned by Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab rahimahullah in his book Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, his explanation of the 50 hadith, the 40 hadith of Ibn Nawawi and the added hadith that he added to it. وَهُوَ فِي الْجُمْلَةِ مُمَاثِلٌ لِحَدِيثِ النَّوَّاسِ إِبْنِ سَمَعَانُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And this hadith, the hadith of Wabisa, he said it is similar, it is comparable to the hadith of النواس ابن سمعان رضي الله عنه. And it's similar in that they both deal with the same subject, البر والإثم. And even the meanings, especially the meaning of Ithm, is pretty much the same in each of these narrations. The second point deals with the first important word in this hadith, that is Al-Birr. And the Shaykh mentions three things about this particular word. He mentions three things about this particular word. All of them of great importance. But of course, the first of them is the most important. Al-Birr kalima jamia. The Al-Birr, it is a comprehensive word. A comprehensive word. تَشْمَلُ الْأُمُورَ الْبَاطِنَةَ الَّتِي فِي الْقَلْبِ وَالْأُمُورَ الظَّاهِرَةَ الَّتِي تَكُونُ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ وَالْجَوَارِ. This word, al-birr, is a comprehensive word that includes, that entails within it, الْأُمُورَ الْبَاطِنَةَ, the internal matters, الَّتِي فِي الْقَلْبِ, that are in the heart. The aqidah. وَالْأُمُورَ الظَّاهِرَةَ, and the external matters, التي تكون على اللسان والجوارح, that are on the tongue, the speech on the tongue, or the actions of the limbs of the body. The ibadah. This word includes al-aqidah wal-ibadah, the internal affairs of the heart and the external affairs of the tongue and the limbs of the body. وَآيَةٌ لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. This ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 177th ayat, that Al-Birr, righteousness, is not that you turn your faces towards the east or the west, in prayer. That's not righteousness that you're facing this direction or that direction. The Shaykh says that this ayah is clear in its indicating this point. واضحة الدلالة على ذلك. على ماذا؟ على أن كلمة البر it includes within it الأمور الباطنة والأمور الظاهرة. فإن أولها مشتملة على الأمور الباطنة. The beginning of this ayat includes within it the internal affairs. The aqidah, the matters of aqidah. The mention of what? The mention of البر is من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. That بر, it includes, it means the one who believes in Allah and the last day and the angels and the books and the messengers. The arkan of Iman, the aqidah of Islam, the foundations of the Islamic aqidah. The Shaykh says, how does it prove it? Because the beginning of this hadith includes, or the beginning of this ayah includes, the internal affairs. Al-umur al-batina wa akhiruha mushtamila ala al-umur al-zahira. And the end of this ayah includes the external affairs. Yani the mention of giving wealth out of love of Allah to those who are near relatives, to the orphans, to the poor, to the travelers, to those who ask, and for freeing of slaves, wa aqama as-salat wa ata az-zakat, yani the performance of the prayers and the giving of the charity and fulfilling, yani the contracts and agreements when the person makes agreements to the end of the ayah. The Shaykh is saying here what? That the proof that al-birr is a comprehensive word that includes the internal and external affairs, yani the aqidah and the ibadah, yani the all of Islam, it includes all of it, is this ayah. This ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-birr is not just turning the direction that you turn your faces in prayer, but rather birr is believing in Allah and the angels and the books and so on, and it also includes prayer and zakat and so on to those things that are part of the external affairs of Islam. This is the first thing that he says about the word al-birr. And then he makes a second point. وَيُطْلَقْ الْبِرْ عَلَى خُصُوص بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَلَا سِيَمَا إِذَا قُرِنَ بِالسِّلَةِ فَإِنَّهُ يُرَادُ بِهِمَا بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَسِلَةُ الْأَرْحَامِ. Yani that birr, it is applied, its meaning is applied to especially birru walidain. Yani being dutiful, being kind, being charitable, being helpful to one's parents. Yani this word birr is especially applied to this meaning, birru walidain, especially when it is accompanied by the word as-sila. When these two are mentioned together, what is intended by them is birru walidain wa silatul arham, that a person is dutiful to their parents and that they keep the ties of blood relations. The third meaning that he mentions about al-birr, ya'ti al-birr maqrunan bit-taqwa, that sometimes the word birr comes accompanied by, attached to the word at-taqwa, as it came in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 2nd Ayat, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and cooperate with one another in righteousness and piety. The Shaykh says, when these two words come together, يعني عند اجتماعهما كما في هذه الآية يفسر البر بفعل الطاعات والتقوى بترك المنهيات. And when these two words came together, when they are mentioned together in the same sentence, then as it came in this ayat, then al-birr is explained to mean the doing of acts of obedience. Birr means fi'l al-ta'at. And al-taqwa means the abandonment of the prohibited things. Tark al-manhiyat. When these two words came together, then each of them has a distinct meaning. وَإِذَا أُفْرِدَ أَحَدُهُمَا عَنَ الْآخَرِ, and if they are mentioned singularly, one of them by itself, to the exclusion of the other, in that case, and each one of them mentioned singularly includes both meanings, that is the doing of acts of obedience and the abandonment of those things that have been prohibited. If either of them is mentioned singly, it has both of those meanings. وَهَذَا نَذِيرُ الْإِسْلَامُ وَالْإِيمَانُ وَالْفَقِيرُ وَالْمِسْكِينُ, and this is similar to the same rule is applicable to the words al-Islam and Iman, that when they are mentioned together, each has its own distinct meaning. Yani al-Islam being yani the external affairs, like the arkan of Islam, and Iman being the internal affairs, the arkan of Iman. But when any one of them is mentioned separately, it takes on the meaning of both of them. That Islam means all of that, and Iman means all of that as well if it's mentioned singularly. And the same thing with al-Faqir al-Miskeen, that when they are mentioned together, each has a meaning. Some of the scholars, like Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, says al-Faqir is ashaddu haja, and he is more in need than the miskeen. And some of the scholars even gave further definitions, yani that the faqir is the one who doesn't find that which is sufficient for them, or they don't have anything, or they don't even have half of what they need, whereas the miskeen may not have what suffices them, but they have yani half or more than that. In any case, the point is that these two words, if they are mentioned separately, they include the meaning of the other. But when they are mentioned together, then each has its own separate meaning. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, al-faqir is more severely in need, and that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, al-faqir, yani, before the miskeen, and Allah doesn't mention something ahead of something else except, yani, it's for, and it's because it's more important. Point number three, After mentioning this word al-birr and some of the meanings that are applicable to it, the Shaykh, he mentions the discussion concerning how the Prophet ﷺ described in the hadith of Nawas, how he described or how he defined al-birr. The word that he used to define al-birr, he said, al-birr husnul khuluq. And so here the Shaykh mentions two possible meanings for husnul khuluq. So in this hadith, al-birr husnul khuluq, it may mean either one of them. It's possible that it may mean either one of these two meanings that the Shaykh is going to mention here. So he says, husnul khuluq yahtamilu an yakun al-murad bihi khusus al-khuluq al-karim al-ma'ruf bihadha al-ism. ويكون تفسير البر به لأهميته وعظيم شأنه. يعني the first possible meaning of حسن الخلق, it might mean especially, يعني what we understand when we say الخلق الكريم, يعني noble character. When we talk about noble character, يعني meaning that a person is kind, that a person is honest, that a person is generous, that a person is merciful, this, yani noble character, this may be what is meant in this hadith by al-birr, if that is the meaning of it. The reason why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned good character, morals and manners as being birr, because birr is more than that, but because of the importance of good character, because of its importance and its great station or status or position in Islam. It's so important that the Prophet ﷺ defined birr, which is every good thing in Islam, is birr. But he defined it by a limited meaning of good character because of the importance of good character. It shows the absolute importance of good character. And it's not just knowing theories and principles and definitions and quoting texts, but rather a person has to exemplify Islam. And the importance of good character is shown in this hadith, as the Shaykh says here. It's shown that the Prophet ﷺ defined al-birr, the comprehensive word al-birr, by good character, showing the importance of good character in Islam. And he said this, the use of, yani the defining of something with a limited meaning that's just a part of it, not the whole of it, is like huwa nadhir ad-din al-nasiha, like the Prophet ﷺ said ad-din al-nasiha. And al-nasiha, sincerity, ikhlas in the deen, is not the whole of the deen, but it's the most important part of it. So he said ad-deen al-nasiha, and it's similar to al-hajj arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that al-hajj is arafah. And arafah, standing in arafah, is not the whole hajj, but it's the most important thing. Without it, the person has no hajj. And Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, or his son, I'm not sure, said like similar to this also, is ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Yani that du'a is the most important aspect of ibadah. And it's only one act of ibadah, there are other acts of ibadah, but it is the most important of them. The second possible meaning, the Shaykh says, meaning of husnul khuluq, al-birr husnul khuluq, yumkin an yuradu bihi al-umum wa shumul li kulli ma huwa khayr. That what may be intended here is the general, all-inclusive, comprehensive meaning of husnul khuluq that includes everything that's good. That includes, yani, كل ما هو خير, everything that is good. Yani the meaning of حسن الخلق, second possible meaning, is that includes everything that's good. And this is indicated. يدل عليه صفة أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها لخلق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بأنه القرآن. Yani what indicates this meaning of حسن الخلق, that it includes everything of good, is the description of the mother of the believers, Aisha رضي الله عنها. She described the character of the Prophet. She said, كان خلقه Al-Qur'an. يعني كلكه Al-Qur'an. Meaning everything that is good. It's all good. This is a second possible meaning. And the meaning of كلكه Al-Qur'an, the Shaykh says, معنى والمعنى أنه يتأدب بآدابه ويمتثل أوامره ويجتنب نواهيه. يعني that his character of the Qur'an means that his manners were based upon the manners of the Qur'an, and he exemplified or he implemented the commands of the Qur'an, and he avoided the prohibitions of the Qur'an. And this is also similar to yani how Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and some of the other people from the Salaf, how they explain the ayah in the Qur'an, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقِ الْعَظِيمِ يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is on خُلُقِ الْعَظِيمِ Ibn Abbas said دين عظيم يعني خُلُق means the whole of the deen. The fourth point the Shaykh mentions after talking about يعني حُسْنُ الْخُلُق then the two possible meanings of حُسْنُ الْخُلُق then he talks about إِثْم يعني the definition of إِثْم as it came in the hadith of Nawas رضي الله عنه. He says the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wal ithmu ma haqa fi nafsika wa kari'ta yattali alayhi an-nas yani that sin is that which disturbs the soul yani the person's inner being will not be at rest with it, you will not be comfortable, you will not be at peace, and it is that which you hate that the people will come to know about it. And it's something that if a person thought about it, if they had iman and taqwa, they would be afraid to do it because they would be afraid that the people will come to know that they have engaged in such behavior. Even though there's no doubt that there's a difference between the people of iman and the people of corruption and filth and immorality who don't care about people knowing about their corrupt deeds, their sins and their evil behavior. Rather, sometimes they brag and boast about it. And they have no shame. So there's a difference here in what? That the person who has iman is concerned about doing something that a person would be ashamed if people knew they did it. What is more important than that is that a person be ashamed that Allah knows about it. The Shaykh, he says that al-ithm is that which disturbs the soul. And a person dislikes that the people know about it. من الإثم ما يكون واضحا جليا. So there is some type of sin which is crystal clear. And everybody knows that it's sinful. So he's saying here that there's sin that's crystal clear. This is not what is mentioned in this hadith per se. يعني even though it includes it for sure. ومنه ما يحوق في الصدر لا تطمئن إليه النفس ويكره الإنسان أن يطلع عليه الناس. لأنه مما يستحيا من فعله فيخشى صاحبه ألسنة الناس في نيلهم منه. يعني another aspect of sin is that which disturbs one's inner being. The nafs, the soul, is not at peace with it. And a person dislikes that people come to know about it. And that is because it's something, the doing of which a person is shy from, is shameful of. It's an action that people are ashamed of. So they fear, the one who does it fears the tongues of the people, yani that the people will speak about, will speak ill about them, if the people came to know that the person did this thing. So there's a type of sin that's crystal clear, it's well known, it's obvious. And there's another type of sin that might not be as obvious, but it disturbs the heart of the person who has iman. And they're not going to be comfortable with it. They're not going to be at rest, and they would dislike that the people came to know about it. And this is because it's something to be ashamed of. وَهُوَ شَبِيهٌ بِمَا جَاءَ فِي الْأَحَدِيثِ الثَّلَاثَ الْمَاضِيَةِ And this meaning is similar to what came in the three previous hadith. Yani three of the hadith that were covered previously. Not just before this hadith, but three hadith that were covered in the 40 hadith previously. The first of them being, فَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ That whoever protects himself, guards himself from the shubuhat, the things that are doubtful, that are dubious, that are unclear, then that person has protected their deen and their honor. And whoever protects himself from the shubuhat. So this meaning is similar. Yani it's something that's doubtful, it's unclear. Yani it disturbs the heart. A person might not know for sure that it's sinful, but their heart is not at rest with it. In that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever protects themselves from the shubuhat, they are protected. Their deen, yani in reference to the relationship with Allah, and their honor in reference to what the people will say about them. And the second hadith of similar meaning is, دَعَ مَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ Leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. And a person is in doubt about something, leave it. Don't even go forward with that. And instead, do that which is clear, that there's no doubt about. And the third hadith, إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسِ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةُ الْأُولَى إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِعْتَ. Yani from that which reached the people, from the speech of the earlier prophets, is if you have no shame about something, then do whatever you will. And if there's no shame in doing that thing, then do it. And that's one of the meanings that the Shaykh explained when we covered the hadith. And if there's nothing to be ashamed of, then do it. And this is similar to this hadith here, that if a person feels uncomfortable about it, don't do it. Finally, the Shaykh says, وَالْإِثْمُ يُرَادُ بِهِ أُمُومَ الْمَعَاسِي الْوَاضِحَ وَالْمُشْتَبِهَ. That al-ithm, what is intended by it, is sin in general. Every type of disobedience, whether it is that which is clear or that which is not clear. It includes all of that. Sin includes yani every act of disobedience, whether it's clear or unclear. Because the believer yani doesn't engage in that which is clearly sinful, nor that which is doubtful. Person is not sure about it. He doesn't engage in that as well. Here the Shaykh says, al-ithm yani, may come accompanied by al-udwan, as it came in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, wala ta'awunu ala al-ithmi wal-udwan. And don't cooperate with one another in sin and transgression. And al-udwan is defined as al-irtidad, to transgress against someone, or to wrong, al-dhulm, wrong, injustice, oppressing someone. And this includes, al-irtidad, transgression includes transgressing a person in reference to their dima, their blood, their amwal, their wealth, and their a'rad, and their honor. Yani that there's transgression in all of these areas. The fifth point that the Shaykh makes is in reference to the wording of the explanation of al-birr in the second hadith, the hadith of Wabisa radiallahu anhu. Yani the explanation of al-birr in the hadith of Wabisa radiallahu anhu is that which itma'annat ilayhi an-nafs wa itma'anna ilayhi al-qalb. Yani that which the soul of the human being is at rest with, is comfortable, at peace, is tranquil with, and likewise the heart of the human being yani finds tranquility in it. The nafs and the qalb find tranquility in that which comes under al-birr. The Shaykh says, لَا يَظْهَرْ لِي فَرْقٌ بَيْنَهُمَا. Yani he doesn't, it's not clear to him that there's any difference between these two sentences. Yani مَطْمَأَنَّتْ إِلَيْهِ النَّفْسِ وَطْمَأَنَّ إِلَيْهِ الْقَلْبِ. Yani that which the nafs is at rest with and that which the heart is at rest with. He said, I don't see any difference between them. So perhaps the second sentence, that which the heart is at rest with, is مُؤَكَّدَ, yani is confirming the first sentence. Yani it's just a confirmation, ta'keed of the meaning, since the two meanings are in agreement. Yani that the heart or that the soul is at rest with something. Then he says, in this hadith, in the second hadith, al-ithm has been defined as that which is the opposite of the meaning of al-birr. Yani al-birr is that which the heart and the soul is comfortable with, is at peace with, and al-ithm is the opposite of that, that which disturbs the heart and disturbs the soul. And this is the meaning also that came in the meaning of al-ithm in the hadith of Nawas radiallahu anhu. The sixth point, the Shaykh talks about very important matter in this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith of Wabisa radiallahu anhu, he said, istafti qalbak, yani ask or seek the fatwa from your heart, and consult your heart. In the beginning of that hadith, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and in the end of the hadith he said, even if the people, wa in aftaka an-nas wa aftawka, even if the people give you a legal ruling contrary to what is happening in your heart is not at rest, and even if the people tell you it's okay, it's not sinful, it's all right, it's not really any nothing to worry about, even if they tell you that, whoever gives you a legal ruling like that, even if they rule over and over and over with that ruling, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, consult your heart. And this indicates that the thing in which there is a shubha or a riba, Yani the thing in which there is some doubtful, some doubt or some dubiousness or lack of clarity, that the heart is not at peace with it. That matter, as-salama fi tarkihi. Yani a person being safe and saved from harm is in abandoning that thing. Heart is not at rest, your soul is not at peace, then that's the thing that should be abandoned. Walau hasala iftan nasbi. No matter, even if the people give you a fatwa saying that it's okay, that it's not sinful, that it's not unlawful. Wal maqsood, and the man can hear, the Shaykh talks about this statement, istafti qalbak, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is addressing an nawas. Wabisa radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this yani rule, or this advice, or this guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is meant for the people of iman. Yani he's addressing a person who has iman. It's not meant for the people of corruption and sin. Yani to check their heart, to consult their heart. The Shaykh says, "Wal maqsood anna man kana min ahli al-iman yakhafu Allah wa yattaqihi fa'innahu la yuqdimu ala shay'in alladhi la yatma'innu ilayhi qalbuhu." That the people of iman who fear Allah and who have taqwa of Allah, they don't go forward, they don't proceed to engage in something that their heart is not at rest with. They would not engage in something that their heart is not at rest with. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the likes of this person, consult your heart. And the people who have iman, who fear Allah, who have taqwa. Even though وَقَدْ يَكُونَ الْإِفْتَى مِمَّنْ لَا عِلْمَ عِنْدَهُ وَقَدْ يَكُونَ مِمَّنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ. The fatwa that he received might be from someone who doesn't have knowledge. Or it might be from someone who does have knowledge. But the point is what? وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ فِي الْمَسْأَلَ دَلِيلْ بَيِّنْ يُؤَوَّلُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْفِعْلِ. Yani the fatwa that he received, that it's okay to do this thing, while his heart is telling him, yani this is not something that you should be engaging in. The fatwa might be from a person who has no knowledge, or it might be from a person who does have knowledge, but in that particular issue, there's no clear evidence to depend upon for that the fatwa is dependent upon. There's no clear evidence that it's dependent upon. And therefore, the person should follow their heart. Yani the discomfort or the uneasiness of the heart. The Shaykh says, however, أما إذا كان في المسألة دليل من الكتاب والسنة فالمتعين المصير إليه. But if there is a clear evidence from the Quran or from the Sunnah, even if the heart feels some discomfort or unrest with it, if there is a clear evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, then what is required is that a person, yani, abide by that. Then the Shaykh says, "Well, istifta al-qalb la yakun min ahl al-fujur wal-ma'asi." That seeking the fatwa from the heart, yani consulting the heart, is not for the people of corruption and sin. For the likes of these people may commit sin openly, and they don't feel any shyness, not from Allah nor from the created beings. The likeness of these people fall into al-haram al-bayyin wa min bab al-awla al-mushtabih. Yani they engage in that which is clearly haram. So then how much more so? Yani they would engage in that which is doubtful. And if that's not clearly haram. If they engage in that which is clearly haram, then that which is not clearly haram, for sure, they're going to engage in this. Naam. The seventh point, and this is the last point that the Shaykh makes concerning the text of the hadith before he mentions the benefits. How much time for that? 13 minutes? Alhamdulillah. So the Shaykh, he says, point number seven, that ما جاء في حديث وابصة من إخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم له بالذي جاء يسأل عنه قبل أن يبدي سؤاله محمول والله أعلم على علم سابق للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم باهتمام هذا الصحابي بمعرفة البر والإثم فلعله حصل له مراجعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قبل في شيء من ذلك. يعني that in this hadith, the hadith of Wabisa رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informing him of that which he came to ask about before he presented his question. Might possibly be, and Allah knows best, because the Prophet had previous knowledge of his ihtimam, yani the concern of this particular companion to know about al-birr wal-ithm. Maybe he knew previously that this companion has such concern, or as some of the scholars said, that perhaps he was informed from other companions who discussed it with him. Or something like this, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said that maybe this is an indication of the firasa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani that a person has the ability to know or to understand something without any direct evidence or through any particular reasoning process. Person just has intuitive knowledge and they're able to understand or know things. Those are the gifts that Allah has given them. In any case, the Shaykh is saying that perhaps, yani the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to inform him of what he was about to ask about was because of the fact that he may have had previous knowledge of this particular companion's concern about the issue of al-birr and al-ithm, yani righteousness and sin. Perhaps he had discussed it with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something concerning this previously. The last point that the Shaykh makes, point number 8, mimma yustafadu min al-hadith, the benefits of this hadith, and the Shaykh mentions 5, and then we're going to mention some other benefits from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen concerning these two narrations. The Shaykh says first, from this hadith, from the benefits of this hadith, bayan عِظَمْ شَأْنِ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. Yani in this hadith is a clarification of the greatness, the magnificence, the importance of the affair of good character. Yani nobody should take lightly the importance of having good character. Nobody should claim that they follow the sunnah, yani identify with the sunnah, and they don't have good character. The second point, أَنَ الْبِرُّ وَالْإِثْمُ مِنَ الْكَلِمَاتِ الْجَامِعَ. Yani, from the benefits of this hadith, is that these two words, al-birr wal-ithm, righteousness and sin, are comprehensive words. Yani, we can see from this hadith that al-birr is a comprehensive word, including everything that's good. And al-ithm is a comprehensive word, including everything that is sinful. And also, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said that in this hadith, from the benefits related to this point, is that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was given comprehensive speech. Then in this hadith, in just a few words, he gave, yani, a tremendous amount, yani, of meaning. The third point, he says, أن المسلم يقدم في أمور دينه على فعل ما هو واضح الحل دون ما هو مشتبه. That the Muslim doesn't approach or go near in the affairs of his deen to doing anything except that which its lawfulness is clear, to the exclusion of that which is, yani, not clear. Yani, the Muslim does not engage in that which is not clear, and we've mentioned that from the previous hadith, in al-halal bayn wa in al-haram bayn wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihat. The fourth point that the Shaykh mentions, and al-mu'min alladhi yakhafu Allah la yaf'alu ma la yatma'innu ilayhi qalbuhu walau uftiya bihi ma lam yakun amran wadihan fi shar' kal-rukhas. Yani that the believer who fears Allah doesn't do anything that his heart is not at rest with. Doesn't do something that his heart is not at rest with, even if people give him a legal ruling that it's okay. Even if he's given that legal ruling. Yani, unless it is a matter, yani, that somebody gave him a legal ruling, and a matter that is amrun wadihan fi shar, yani it's clear in the sharia that this is a rukhsa, yani a permission, yani a special permission to do something that might normally not be permissible. Unless that is the case. The last point the Shaykh makes is حِرْسَ as-sahaba radiallahu anhum ala ma'rifati al-halal wal-haram wal-birr wal-ithm, that in this hadith is an indication of the diligence and the eagerness of the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, to know that which is lawful and unlawful, and to know that which is righteousness and that which is sinful. From the benefits that are mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he mentioned lots of them in more than one different place. From amongst them is what I alluded to earlier, that the Prophet ﷺ has been given jawami al-kalam, comprehensive speech, yani a few words that he speaks carrying a lot of meaning. This another point that he makes is al-mu'min alladhi qalbuhu safin salim yahuqu fi nafsihi al-ithm wa in lam ya'lam annahu ithm. Yani that the believer whose heart is pure and sound. Yani sin troubles his nafs, even if he didn't know that it's a sin. And he doesn't know the legal ruling concerning it, but his heart is troubled by it. Yani his heart is troubled by it. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the ability to the believer, because of their sincerity, to judge and to know, yani the furqan, to judge between right and wrong. Also from the benefits that the Shaykh mentioned, and I'm just mentioning some of them, the permissibility of going back, referring back to one's heart or one's soul, yani to determine if something is lawful or not, but with the condition that الذي رجع إلى قلبه ونفسه ممن استقام دينه فإن الله عز وجل يؤيد من علم الله منه صدق النية. Yani that the person can refer to their heart, consult their heart, if that person is from those whose heart and whose nafs, yani they are from those who are upright upon their deen. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids the one who he knows is sincere, yani has sincere intention. Another point that the Shaykh mentions, and لا يغتر الإنسان بإفتاء الناس, that a person shouldn't be deceived by the fatwa of people. Yani that somebody gives you a fatwa, don't be deceived by that. Especially when a person finds uncertainty in their nafs. For indeed, many of the people go to an alim or a student of knowledge seeking a fatwa, and then they return feeling uncertainty about their fatwa. Feeling uncertain about that fatwa. So if a person is given a fatwa and it doesn't become clear that it's really lawful and their heart is not at rest with it, the Shaykh says, this person who is unclear, who is unsure after they ask an alim, should they go to another alim? He said, yes. It's obligatory upon them to go to another alim if their heart, yani if the answer that they were given, yani by the first one, yani doesn't sit well. And if they don't feel comfortable that it's actually lawful to do that thing. The next point the Shaykh makes, أن المدار في الأحكام الشرعية على الأدلة لا على ما اشتهر بين الناس لأن الناس قد يشتهر عندهم شيء ويفتون به وليس بحق والله موفق. يعني that that which we depend upon in legal rulings is evidence, not what is well known or famous amongst the people. Because what might be well known amongst the people, and that the fatwa is given, yani based upon it, may not be the truth. And we have lots of examples of that. And then the last couple of points, yani that Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions from the benefits of this hadith, is that the scale for determining sin is that which causes discomfort or uneasiness in the soul, and that the heart is not at rest with. Also, he said the believer hates that people come to know about their defects, unlike the person who is reckless, who is irresponsible, who is uninhibited, who doesn't have any inhibitions about going in the street and doing acts of filth or immorality. The believer dislikes that people come to know their defects, unlike those who have no shame. Then the Shaykh says, Firasatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani that also in this hadith is an indication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ability to perceive, to see things and to understand things without necessarily having a direct indication, as mentioned in this hadith. Yani when he said to the companion, have you come to ask about yani righteousness and sin? He said from the benefits of this hadith is that the ruling concerning a thing may go back to the nafs al-mutma'inna, yani the soul that is at rest, that dislikes evil and that loves khair. That's the heart that a person can consult about that which is yani sinful or not. And the last point the Shaykh says, that whenever it is possible, yani mata amkana al-ijtihad fa innahu la ya'dilu ila taqleed. Yani whenever it's possible for a person to make ijtihad, then they shouldn't blindly follow, even yani if the people give them the ruling that what they are asking about is not unlawful. And Allah knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Adhan. Right, if there's any question or any comment or any correction, we can take maybe one moment, inshallah. Otherwise, inshallah, after the salat, we can take a few minutes. Any question? Any correction?
بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا.